Adam Kaplan of ESPN. You see him on the NFL Insiders show. What's going on, Adam? How you doing?
Jeff, good to talk to you as we wind up week 16 of the National Football League and we head to week 17. And it's starting to get interesting. I'll tell you what, it's starting to get interesting. We've got the game tonight, of course, and then next week we've got all sorts of coaching changes, which we always get, six or seven of them, sure will be the number in that area. And then locally, it's just the Eagles. I think if you're a fan, you had to feel really good about how the Eagles closed against the Giants. And obviously, they'd love to win this last game.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find it interesting that, I mean, do you think Jason Garrett will not, he said he's not going to rest his starters. Do you find that interesting? Especially in light of the Derek Carr injury?
Well, you know what? I don't know that it matters in terms of what they want to accomplish. Talking to the Cowboys this morning, they were going to play their starters well into the third quarter, maybe in the fourth. Some of them will finish the game. And I don't think they're going to overwork Ezekiel Elliott, but I expect them to play a lot. And they're going to win this game. They're going to play it somewhat like a third preseason game. All the starters, barring the guys who are inactive tonight, like there are only a couple of them of note. DeMarcus Lawrence, their starting defensive end, who you know, he's had back problems. And former Eagle Cedric Thornton will not play tonight. He's had a lingering ankle injury. But I think these guys are going to play to it. Here's the problem. Let's just say, for argument's sake, remember when Andy Reid would do it? He would always say, "My job is to get my players to the playoffs." So he would barely play them or not play them at all.
Right.
The Cowboys are not looking at that. They don't want it. They don't want anyone to rest. They don't want them to really lose their effectiveness by sitting them for 2 weeks. Because think about it, they have the first round bye. They have the best record in the NFC, and they also have the number one seed. So
It would be like 3 weeks off if they sat those guys.
Right. And Andy has talked about that when he was with the Eagles, when they ever had that chance. He just felt that, you know what, my job is to get these healthy, but I think Jason Garrett and the Cowboys all agree, because they had to talk it over, starting with Jerry Jones, the owner. They think they got to play these guys. They're going to play tonight.
Interesting. Next Monday, at this time next Monday, how many coaches will have been fired in the NFL?
Well, you know, Jeff, it's not always Monday. It goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's
Thursday.
True. And we already have Bradley on the list. I mean, he's already been fired.
Yeah, and of course, Jeff Fisher.
Right.
And I think, here's what I think, and not that we want anyone fired, but we know the reality is guys are going to lose their jobs, unfortunately. I would say a minimum of three will go next week, and then there could be as many as probably five or six. It's just, here's what happens, Jeff. When you talk to teams, it's not just the owner. It's the team president who may or may not have a hand in football operations who will get in the owner's ear, and that a team president could impact a decision whether a head coach is retained. It's not just one person usually, so we'll have to see what happens, but I think what we're seeing now is the league has changed. The landscape has changed. More people are involved in these decisions than before.
Agreed. All right, so here it is. I'll throw out the name, and you tell me your gut instinct, all right? Because, I mean, you're clearly not reporting any firings right now, right?
No. Okay. In fact, no. We're not reporting anything. I don't want to speculate, but I would just say this. There are plenty of names that people have speculated. We know in San Francisco, it's not that we're not going to talk about Chip's status, but the general manager has been come under fire, Trent Baalke. The names are obvious, but I would tell you this, every year there's a surprise to where you go, wow.
See, that's what I was going to, I figured there might be like a guy like maybe Chuck Pagano or Fox or, you know, somebody you might not be thinking.
Listen, and remember, I thought Adam Schefter made a great point a couple weeks ago. He said, you got to understand with these teams, these extensions are just, they're just worth the paper that they're on. They don't really mean anything. Chuck Pagano got a 3-year extension along with Ryan Grigson. They're signed through 2019, actually.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, ask Jeff Fisher about extensions, right?
That is the perfect thing. There's no doubt about it. That is the best example of it. So I just think that I've learned more than ever, never to be surprised when a coach signs an extension a year before doesn't mean he'll be back the next year.
Do you feel, or are you getting catching word at all that things will be status quo with the Eagles after the season, as far as coaching staff, scouting staff, things like that?
front office? Well, let's put it this way. Let's start with, and I know you're talking about Doug Peterson. This is what.
Oh, I mean everybody. I mean, yes, Doug, but you know, anybody. You know,
I expect Harry Roseman to be back, and right. I expect Doug to be back. I mean, if that's, you know, that's what you're referring to. But,
Jim Schwartz, Frank Reich, all those guys.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm not along in the process. I mean, just checking to the Eagles situation of the 32 teams I deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Eagles are one where I think they feel good about the way that they're closing, especially that Giant game. I mean, that to me shows you that they play hard for the head coach. And
right.
Doug certainly needs to improve. Doug's going to have to learn that he cannot make everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something he's got to be a little bit tougher on his players in year two. And if he's going to make it long term to years 4 and 5, as a head coach in the National Football League, he's going to have to adjust a little bit. But these players play hard for him. And the previous head coach last year, I think some people question that. So I don't see anything. I'm sure that there may be some additions in the front office just because Joe Douglas, remember, came in after the draft.
Right.
The key there would be for him and Howie Roseman to work together well in their first full year together, because this is going to be an important year. 2017 is a major year for them. They've got to help their quarterback and get talent around him.
I totally agree. The one thing that I can't help but think about, though, is that this team came really, really close to hiring Gus Bradley, and now he's out there, and we've seen this defense not exactly play. And it was important that they played well against the Giants, but through the course of the season, they've let the team down a lot. And I just wonder if they'll look at Bradley on the free agent market as a potential defensive coordinator and think, you know what? We really like this guy. We were going to hire him once.
I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it, because I think that if the Eagles are being honest about it, they were so overachieving to the first half of the season with Leotis McKelvin, Nolan Carroll, Jalen Mills.
Totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the what's happening is reality. I mean, you know, Michael Kendricks is kind of fallen off, but he's flashed a little bit, but he hasn't played at the level that they need him to play. Connor Barwin does not fit this defense at all. I mean, that was, I think, a fear from some people, and it's totally true.
Right. Great guy, but he's got to be the first to go, right? I mean,
he's a 34 outside linebacker.
Right.
Jeff. He's a 34 outside. This is the wrong scheme for him. And he's got a high cap number for next year, 30 years old. Yeah, I expect him to go.
Do you think there's a market for him, though? Do you think that they could find a team willing to pay the price for the veteran?
Jeff.
I think there should be. Maybe like New England.
Well, Jeff, let's put it this way. Jeff, half of the league runs a 34.
Right.
Just about. I mean, yeah, I don't think that would problem finding a suitor. I don't know how much they're going to get for him. And the other problem is a team accepting his contract as is, and that would be an issue for that receiving team. But he's a great guy. He's been great for the community, but you know, it is what it is. And Jeff, his cap number is enormous, $8.35 million, base salary $7.75 million. So obviously he cannot return with that salary, even if they decide to bring him back.
Right now. You mentioned McKelvin. I can't imagine him being back either. This team needs, and we've talked about it, they need a makeover to the max. I mean, they just need a lot. What they really need, Adam, is young, dynamic talent. Is that fair? That's fair. I mean, it doesn't even matter to the
players.
They just, they're so, you can't even find five guys on this team under the age of 25 who all have a lot of starter potential.
I mean, half of their roster are players that they did not draft or sign as undrafted free agents. Think about that. That's the highest number in the National Football League. I mean, I looked at it last week. I started going through it. I was like, this is unbelievable how many players they have that are not their own. So I think that, and I get it. I think when this current regime took over, they knew, and starting with Howie Roseman, he had the roster's going to be flipped a little bit because you're changing schemes and offensive defense. The offensive scheme is similar to Chip's. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going at the same tempo because they actually huddle, but defensively, it's completely different. So this is a roster rebuild. Let's call it what it is. I mean, the start they get off to was so surprising. I picked them to be 7-9. I never moved off that. And I think this week that I see them. I know the Cowboys will probably say they're going to play a lot of the starters next week, but we'll have to see about that.
So I've defended Doug Peterson at times, not a lot, but at times on some of the controversial, quote unquote, controversial decisions he's made throughout the year. The one time, and I'm curious for your opinion on this, Adam, because I couldn't on calling the double reverse where he's a lead blocker five plays after he goes to get checked out for a concussion. I understand that he cleared it. I understand that, you know, you're in field to play, you're playing, but I don't even like, even if my quarterback is completely healthy, having him lead block on a reverse.
Let me, Jeff, explain the concussion protocol. Just because a player is out of the protocol does not mean he doesn't have a head injury, that he didn't get dinged.
Correct.
Remember, he said, he went on the record, said he got dinged.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I wouldn't have done that. I rarely criticize a play call. That was a bonehead decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite frankly, let's call it like it was.
Yeah, I hated it. I thought it was awful.
I just wouldn't have done it. And I get, no, listen, Doug has a right to defend himself. I mean, good for him, but mm-hmm. Because it's a quarterback, and by the way, that block was pretty darn good by Wentz. I mean,
it really was, actually, yeah.
Jesus, I mean, he's big enough to handle it.
Yep.
But speaking of that, wait till you see him get in their weight room in the offseason. He's 230. He might have lost some weight during the season.
Uh-huh.
I remember talking to Joe Flacco about this. When Flacco was drafted by the Ravens, he was about 227. Remember, Joe is 6'6", 1/4. He's about 245 now, and he's ripped. I mean, he's built.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, once he gets in their offseason program, he'll get even bigger physically. If you think he's as tough as they come at that position for his size, wait till they get their hands on him in the offseason. He'll get bigger.
I spoke about that last week when some people were wondering why a couple of his throws looked a little short as he got out of the pocket. And, you know, he had a couple of plays where he was dancing around that pocket 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds, then running left and running right. And I think conditioning is a big thing in the NFL. And I think when he comes back physically bigger and stronger and more conditioned, you won't see that happen when he's breaking contain and running a little bit more.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I talked to Bill Polian about this. He said that the college players, where they come out or they're seniors, they hit the rookie wall around Thanksgiving because that's when their season would end.
Mm-hmm.
So they would play those, you know, they'd play 10, 11 games. That would be the end of their season. Well, now he's playing 16 games plus the preseason, although we know he only played half of the one game because of the broken ribs. But, you know, this is the time of year when players wear down, especially rookies, because they've never played this many games in one season. So it doesn't surprise me that I think any rookie's body could wear down a little bit.
Adam, one thing about you that I always love having you on is that you're not just an analyst. I mean, you really study the game tape and can tell things more than so other guys. So I'm going to ask you this. Peter, with Wentz's mechanics, he tends to sail the ball. His delivery tends to be elongated. And that's been kind of a consistent thing since week one, at least from my vantage point. Do you think that they just haven't had a chance to work with all of the mechanics this year because he got thrown into the fire? And do you expect that to be kind of a big priority for the coaching staff in the offseason?
Well, a couple things, Jeff. Remember, he missed most of August with the broken ribs.
Right.
And they just could not. Well, that's an important time because you're talking about the final week or so of training camp and those three preseason games. I mean, those he would have taken the ones, worked with the ones most of those weeks, and he just didn't get it. He would have gotten a lot of it, even with Bradford there. But he didn't, and that kind of set him back a little bit. And then when he played so well early on, I think people really looked at the tape and said, wow, he looks like he's cleaned up the release, the windup, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think it's a big deal because most of the time you don't see it as much. But in every game, it seems to be two or three throws where, boy, that ball really sails.
Right.
But it's not just the windup. It's his footwork. His foot, if you watch his left foot, occasionally it points in the wrong direction. It's something I understand that they're going to work on.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going to do, from talking to people close to the situation, they're going to give him a bunch of things to improve on. Because you remember, they can't work with him due to the rules in the CBA. They can't work with the players until April. They're going to give him sort of homework assignments for 3 or 4 months that he's away for him to work on. And that's what he'll do. You can't give him a lot of things because you don't want to tax his brain, but you're going to give him, they'll give him, you know, certain things to work on. But let's just put it this way. For a rookie quarterback, he's so far ahead of the curve. I mean, I always laugh when you see the stats thrown out there. Well, you know, well, average per pass attempt, not really good. And I get that that's a big metric,
mm-hmm.
but you always have to look who the players are working with. And that, I mean, it's, I knew going into the season, you and I have talked for months about this, how bad the receiver core was. Now the coaches have to do a better job of scheming guys open. That's probably something you could criticize.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew it when word came out that Jordan Matthews probably going to line up a little bit more outside than we expected. That tells you all you need to know. It tells you.
I didn't like that idea. I knew that was going to fail.
It wouldn't work. Yeah. I told you. I mean, I went on the station in March, said if they do it, it's a mistake. He's not an outside receiver.
Yep. Yeah. They got to get speed. They got to get it in the draft. Let me ask you from a bigger picture NFL outlook here. I'm looking at the AFC because I think the AFC is really exciting from a playoff standpoint. I feel like New England without Gronkowski can be had in the playoffs. You know, they always put up great regular season stats, but he's such a big part of what they do. I like the way Kansas City's playing right now. I really think this is the year that Andy can get to the Super Bowl again.
He Here's what I think. I think that even without
Houston's got to be healthy. Houston's got to be healthy, though. I'll say that.
Yes, that getting Justin Houston back from the, he's having swelling, which is related to his ACL reconstruction from last year. I think the problem though for New England is without Gronk, who changes the game, I think that's going to be a problem in the playoffs because you need other players to get involved, and they don't have any sort of outside passive game. This puts a more of a premium on the inside passing game. Now they're going to get Danny Amendola back from his high ankle sprain in the playoffs, but that's where I think the farther you go in the playoffs, the more it hurts you.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, though, the one thing people aren't talking about, New England's defense is improving. It really is. And that's where I don't think enough people are understanding it.
That's true.
Yeah, they'll be tested. Yeah, they'll be tested. And I would agree with you. The one team that I think that could give New England a run for their money.
Pittsburgh.
And by the way, they're really good on the road is the Chiefs. I think they can win.
Okay, so you agree with me then. You think the Chiefs can give them? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And listen, Andy Reid will always be a pass-happy coach. But they can run the football with Spencer Ware and others. You know, they're not going to have Jamal Charles, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But they run the ball. And Travis Kelce, you can call him whatever you want, Baby Gronk or whatever. Right now, no tight end in the National Football League is playing as close to who else is this guy.
He's been tremendous. Last question, Adam. What would – and I've been talking about this with some of the callers tonight. A lot of people tell me around here that – and you're from Philly, so you know – that people do like Andy. You know, it was kind of ugly at times, but in general, they root for him. I do think, though, Andy Reid hosting the Lombardi Trophy would not sit well with a lot of – even his fans here, it would be like for Eagles fans, like, that should have been us. I'm curious what you think the reaction would be if Andy Reid won the Lombardi with the Chiefs.
I think people, more than probably 50% of the fan base would be in pain because he didn't win with the Eagles. But I think everyone liked Andy as a guy, really good coach, and – he needed to go. I mean, it's just simple as that. It had to happen. I think most people connected with it, agreed, and he got a second chance at it, and he needed to get re-energized, which he did, and he didn't have to worry about personnel anymore because John Dorsey handles it. John Dorsey controls that. He just coaches the team, and Andy coaches well. And how about Brad Childress back there?
Yep.
Who's the co-offensive coordinator, and Brett Veach, who used to be with the Eagles, is out there. How about Dave Tobe, who started his career with the Eagles as a special teams coach. I mean, he's a great coach. You know what? One way you evaluate a head coach is his coaching staff, and he's got a really good staff.
He does, and he's 22-4 in his last 26 games, which is unbelievable.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Wow. You know, if you factor the 11 straight wins at the end of last year's regular season, they're 11-4 now, right? So to me, that's 22-4 by my quick math. That's pretty impressive. Adam Kaplan, tell us when you're on ESPN next, please.
Yeah, I am on tomorrow on SportsCenter during the morning, and then we've got NFL Insiders tomorrow. I think it's being moved to 1. If you look at my schedule, because there's a ball game, I don't know, whatever of the 50 of them that there are. I don't know which one it is. Yeah, but check us out tomorrow. By the way, former Eagles and Browns president Joe Banner's on with us. He's in studio as one of our panelists. And
nice.
Joe is tremendous. He is, I got to tell you, he – I wish you guys could get him on the. I wish you would get him on the station because he's been. I've learned so much about. He knows. Let me put it this way, Jeff. He knows way more about football than I know. He grades tape. He watches tape. I mean, he knows way more about football than people know. I'm telling you.
Well, you know what? We will try. I think we've tried to get Joe on in the past. Maybe he'll be a little bit more open to it now. And I would love to have him on.
Sure he would. Yep. You should have him on.
We thank you for coming on. Hope you're having a happy holidays, and we'll look forward to seeing you on ESPN. Adam Kaplan, ESPN NFL Insider.